Today's opening tip, the Spurs Coyote is the 2020 NBA mascot of the year, at least according to the Spurs Twitter account. So, Fizz, how much did you notice the mascots when you were coaching?
Well, I try not to pay any attention to them, but there are some things that they do is just so ridiculously funny, man, that you just, even if you're trying to be serious as a coach, man, you see it and you just lose it. And some of those guys are super talented, man. They are athletic. They bounce off trampolines. They do a lot of crazy stuff.
Yeah, no doubt. Shout out to the Coyote. Shout out to Bernie from the Heat.
Benny the Bull, though?
Yeah, Benny the Bull. I just mentioned them. I just gave him some love. Those are like my top three right there. Ramona Shelburne hanging out with us.
Yeah.
Welcome into the Jump. I'm George Sedano. For our fearless leader, Rachel Nichols. Today, I'm joined by our resident coach, David Fizdale, and our senior NBA writer and insider, Ramona Shelburne, who you just heard. Coming up, James Harden returned to the court and made a statement with his play over the weekend. We'll react to his 44 points and 17 assists in his season debut and discuss what it means going forward. But first, it's time to play one of our favorite games here on The Jump, right out of the gate, too. Something, nothing, or everything. So let's start in Los Angeles. The Clippers lost by 51 points yesterday. I repeat, the Clippers lost by 51 points yesterday. They were without Kawhi Leonard, who was out. Here is Paul George after the game.
I take full responsibility. You know, it's a tough game coming from Christmas. You know, I enjoy my Christmas day. I enjoyed my Christmas day yesterday. Today just popped up on me a little too fast. I'll take full ownership of that, of coming out and being prepared to play today. Be a different situation come next game, and, you know, we'll be ready. Make sure our group will be ready.
Okay, so Coach Fizz, trailing by 50 at halftime, losing by 51 overall. Is that something, nothing, or everything?
Oh, that's something. You can't just discount losing by 50. I know Coach Lou was digging deep into that bag, trying to pull all his tricks out to get the team riled up and get them moving. But that turkey was sitting on him and all of those fixings and everything. So, you know, I think the good thing about this is Paul George took ownership of it. And he had an opportunity to show that he could lead this team without Kawhi, and he missed that opportunity. He'll probably have it again, but that's why I think it's something, because he has to be able to take this team and carry it for stretches during the season, and that's going to be very important.
Look, I think it's nothing. I understand it looks terrible, but you know, it's the third game of the year. They've looked great so far. They didn't have Kawhi. And, you know, when Paul George basically, he just flat out said, look, I enjoyed my Christmas. I enjoyed it a little too much. Okay, it sounded like he got back from Denver and had a good time, right? And to me, it's like, look, you own that. And I like that he said, I own that. I like that he said we had a little Christmas hangover there. And this happens. Like, when you get down real early, this game was out of hand in the first quarter. I mean, I kept seeing the scores, and I was like, ooh, that looks really bad. And usually, if you close that gap by halftime, there's a chance it's not going to be ugly like that. But, I mean, the second half was even. I don't know. I'm trying to find a bright side for him, but I think it's nothing. I think it's just
good
a ball race
coach.
Kind of game.
Good job, coach.
All right, I'm going to go in the middle here between you two. I'm going to create a new version. I know it's something, nothing, or everything, but I'm going to go snuffing,
yeah.
Okay? Snuffing. Because it is a little bit of something, and it's kind of a little bit of nothing, okay?
Right, right.
Because it is the third game of the season, yeah. But my God. You can't be embarrassed like that at home.
Right.
I don't care you had a Christmas hangover. I don't care how much turkey you had, how much ham you had, how many fixings you had. Listen, there's not enough tryptophan in the world to make you sleepwalk through that game the way they sleepwalk through that. So that is an embarrassing situation. So I'm going to go and create a new category and call it snuffing. All right. Next, the Brooklyn Nets suffered their first loss of the season to Charlotte last night. They also lost starter Spencer Dinwiddie, who went down with a partially torn ACL. We'll get to Dinwiddie's injury in just a moment. But first, Fizz, is the loss to the Hornets last night something, nothing, or everything?
To Brooklyn, it's only something because they lost Spencer Dinwiddie. I mean, he's a critical piece to their overall success. He's a guy that plays next to Kyrie. He's a guy that can be on the court without Kyrie running the team and getting people shots and getting his own baskets. So he's been an integral part of what they do. And so I do think that is something because they lost him. Overall, the actual game, I don't think is a big deal to them at all. It is something to the Charlotte Hornets, who's a young team. Coach Borrego did a great job in winning that game.
Yeah, I'm going to say something just because of the injury to Spencer, because I think he's one of those underrated pieces that if you've got a guy who's okay playing next to Kyrie Irving, right, who knows how to do that already. Mm-hmm. Plus, Kyrie has not always been the most durable player. He's going to miss some time throughout, you know, throughout his career. He's very rarely gone a season without missing at least a few games in a season. Mm-hmm. And so you lose somebody who has been a leader for you when Kyrie's been out. So I think that's something. I'm curious what that does to their thinking on trading for James Harden. I know that they have explored that. They've had conversations. They haven't gone very far. But James Harden would theoretically play next to Kyrie Irving, so just say it.
I'm in agreement with you guys. I'm going to go something because of the Dinwiddie injury. The game is not really a big deal. I mean, right. You're going to lose one over 72 games. Not that big a deal. But they do have ball handling issues now when you think about it, right? After Kyrie Irving, Spencer Dinwiddie out, now you're looking at guys like Tyler Johnson, right? You're looking at guys like Bruce Brown, who are nice players and who can handle the ball a little bit, but I don't know if you want them necessarily to be your secondary ball handlers on a team with championship aspirations. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe they prove me wrong, but I do think that they would probably look to add a player in that vein, right, that can help them there. Now, Ramona, let me ask you this about Dinwiddie's injury. Like, what are the possibilities? Do they explore a deal for, you know, a secondary ball handler? It doesn't have to be James Harden. Is that something that's on the table?
You know, I think right now you roll with what you got. I mean, you mentioned they have other guys that can play in that role. It's just that Spencer was the best of them, and so it's got to be next man up, and you see where you're standing. But I think that you're now in evaluation mode. You see what do we have, and what I've seen from the Nets so far in the first couple of games of this season is they look like a team that can win the Eastern Conference, and they look like a team that could win the entire thing if they're healthy at the right time. I think Kevin Durant's answered a lot of questions about how he was going to come back from that Achilles injury. Looks great. And so if I'm the Nets, like, this is evaluation time. And do the backups that I have here. Is the next man up? Is he good enough? If not... You got a couple of months to figure out what you're going to do about it. But, I don't know. I don't know if it changes their thinking in terms of James Harden. They can offer what they can offer, right? And Spencer Dinwiddie would have been part of that package. It's hard to trade an injured player. But that it does bring Brooklyn back to the forefront, at least in my mind, as a team that should look at a trade for James Harden. Because if you're in win-now mode, you don't want to let an injury like that derail you.
You know, in NBA 2K, coach, you can't trade injured players, but I guess in the league you could do it. But what do you make of what Ramona had to say there?
No, I think she makes some great points there. But I'm going to tell you, it's a kid that I coached there, Tyler Johnson, who you better not sleep on. Tyler is fearless. He's tough. Mm-hmm. He guards the ball. He's played backup point guard for us when I was in Miami. He can handle the role well. He's been seasoned and coached in multiple places now. So I do think they have a good safety net in Tyler Johnson and a guy that's going to compete. And remember, the ball is going to be in KD's hands and LeVert's hands. Simple as that. And so if a guy can get it over half court, get the ball to the right guys, and they can guard the position, they're a great filler for the Nets.
Yeah, and I think that kind of third role now, I mean, Dinwiddie was kind of feeling that out. He didn't have a huge scoring load, at least through the first couple of games of the season. But I think, you know, you look at Caris LeVert, who's going to have to carry that burden now for sure when it comes to the scoring. So beyond, obviously, KD and Kyrie. But let's move on to James Harden, Ramona, who you mentioned, who dropped 44 points and 17 times in an overtime loss to the Blazers in his season debut on Saturday. So, Momo, is Harden's big stat line in his debut something, nothing, or everything?
I almost want to take a page out of your book and go in between, okay? But I don't know how something and
too.
Everything go together. Everything? I don't know. We'll go like that. Look, we all know James Harden can ball out. Like, he is a great player, but sometimes it helps to be reminded of that, right? We haven't seen that since the bubble. We haven't seen him play and have a game like that where they're obviously down a lot of players. It was like James versus everybody, okay? They were playing a really good team up there in Portland. And so to me, like, him showing out like that, especially coming off the issues that he had had, right, where he obviously was a huge distraction to the team. It was negative press for him, negative press for the team. You know, I've talked about this with a lot of folks around the league. Has James Harden hurt his trade value by the way that he has acted off the court? I don't think so. From my understanding, George, The offers for James are good. There are several of them. You know, one person told me there's at least six teams that have made offers that are very interested in Harden. So to me, I don't think anything's hurt his trade value, but it's always good to remind people how good you are.
Absolutely. Now, I think it's something as well. I think anytime you get to see that talent back on the court, and you can just see that even when he's a little distracted with all of the stuff that's going on, that's how good he is. Is he's still better than most players in the NBA. And he almost went up there to Portland and beat a really good Portland team. You know, I haven't really praised Portland to the level that I should, but with Nurkic on the court, they look like a different team a lot of times. And so with James going up there and almost willing that victory, the reason I say it's something is because you are going to get Wall back and you're going to get Boogie back. And if they can get those three talents to play together where James is enjoying it and they are winning games, maybe Houston can reel them back in and get them back into the fold. That's going to be a tall task, but I think that's why it's something is because he's back on the court and those other two guys are coming back soon.
Yeah, I agree. And I would also go something. But here's the thing. Not to mention, you know, let's not forget about Christian Wood, who also balled out in that game. And the Rockets paid a nice chunk of change to bring him to that roster. I think that that's a kid also that you have to look at. I know a lot of executives perhaps looked at him and said, well, he's putting up big numbers on bad teams or whatever. But this kid can play, legitimately can play, and I think he can help that team. And I don't know, Momo, what do you think? Is there any chance that Houston could reel him back in, or is that ship sailed?
I'm never going to say never, okay, right. Because I firsthand covered a team like that here in Los Angeles when Kobe Bryant wanted to be traded to literally anywhere but the Lakers back in 2007. I mean, he was, you know, trade me to Pluto. I think that was the line that he used. So it has happened in the past. I don't think it's going to happen here. I think James wants to be traded. I think that's very clear. And I think all this does is remind his suitors, who, by the way, there are already, I'll say it again, at least six teams that I know have inquired about him. Mm-hmm. I think they already want him. It's about negotiating right now. And, you know, somebody very close to the situation told me last night, like, let's see what this does to the offers over the next week or two, and to see how they improve. Not just by one game, he has to sustain this, okay? But this was a nice reminder, and I do think James still wants to be moving on and going someplace else. It's just a question of whether the Rockets can find a trade to their liking.
All right. I want to turn to a much more serious topic with Karl-Anthony Towns. The two-time All-Star suffered a dislocated left wrist. And according to Woj, he will not require surgery, so that's good news. And there's optimism it could be a short-term injury. He's going to be evaluated on a week-to-week basis. So, Ramona, what does this injury mean for the Wolves going forward?
Well, I mean, obviously, they were off to a great start, and Carl is their guy. That's their franchise player. Yeah. And I got to be honest, like, I when I heard his comments after the first game when he talked about, you know, the person that you've known before is never coming back. Like, that person died when his mom died. I mean, that was just, he's really going through some stuff. Yep. And I don't know how to help or any of us know what to say to Carl if you see him or something, but he's obviously going through a really hard time in his life. And, you know, we know all of the relatives he's lost to COVID-19. And so now, you know, basketball, we always like to say this thing, like, basketball is a refuge, right? You're supposed to, you know, escape your issues, your problems, and now he doesn't get to do that. But I like that he corrected people. Don't assume you know how somebody's feeling, right? Where he says, yeah, no, it's, I'm still thinking about it when I'm playing basketball. I know it affects the Wolves, but I'm just more concerned for Carl because I can just tell the man's heart is real heavy.
Yeah, it's just really a tough situation seeing him now get injured and having to push reset again on the season. You know, I had, last year with the Knicks, I had three guys lose a relative within a two-week span. And just, I understand what Coach Saunders has, the role he has to play in trying to be there for him and really trying to galvanize the team around him. And at the same time, not putting too much on him where he's always thinking about it. Just trying to create that environment where he can escape for a little bit. But at the same time, you never get away. When you lose loved ones like he did, there's just no way. And you know, to hear what he said, like Ramona said, it was heartbreaking to hear that. And anybody that's lost a loved one that's that close to them, in fact, multiple loved ones, I mean, it's nothing you can do to bring them back. And the memory often will just, everywhere you look, is going to hit them. And so I think the team element will be great for him. And I think Coach Saunders and the staff will really be good for him and surrounding him with a lot of love.
Heartbreaking is the exact word. Look, man, there's, and I'm not trying to, you know, throw shade at any other family relationship, but the bond between a child and their mother is completely different, yeah. You know what I'm saying, than anything else, than any of the other family dynamics. And when you lose your mother at that young of an age, the way you lost her, man, of course, your heart breaks for him. But to your point, Fizz, I do think Coach Saunders, who understands losing a loved one, right? He lost his father way too early. And I think that, you know, hopefully he can help uplift him in a way. And he's already kind of an uplifting type of personality to begin with. So I do feel for Carl, as Ramona said, going through such difficult times. And then you add this layer to it. It only makes it even more challenging. So all the best, obviously, to Carl Anthony Towns. Mm-hmm. All right, coming up next, Steph Curry dropped 36 last night in a win for the Warriors after a rough pair of games, obviously, to start the season. Did Curry's performance last night change your view of the Warriors? Stick around. You're watching The Jump. Welcome back to The Jump. I'm George Sedano in for Rachel Nichols, here with Coach David Fizdale and Ramona Shelburne. Unfortunately for the rest of the league, the Lakers' championship hangover only lasted for one game. The champs had two blowout wins this weekend. They beat the Mavs by 23 on Christmas Day. And then the 36-point win against the Timberwolves with Anthony Davis resting a calf strain on the first half of a back-to-back last night. So, Ramona, what impressed you the most about the Lakers this weekend?
You know, I like their new guys. I like the way that Marc Gasol looked, especially last night. He just gives them such a different dimension to the way that they played last year. Like, he's such a great passer. And one of the things that LeBron James always talks about is playing with high IQ players, right? Yeah. That was why he bonded so well with Rajon Rondo last year. Marc Gasol is exactly that kind of player. And it kind of reminds me, Fizz, you tell me if I'm off base, okay? Kind of reminds me of what Kevin Love did for the Cavs when LeBron was there. Big man who could space the floor, great passer. That outlet pass last night was, like, unbelievable. That's something Kevin would do. And it's just a dimension they didn't have last year that I think opens up a whole other side of their offense.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I even think Mark is another level passer than even Kevin Love. Like, Mark is – he sees the game how LeBron sees the game, but he does it from the center position. And that's what I think makes him so unique for their team. So even LeBron – as we try to watch to see if he's going to age at all, watch how many easy layups and dunks he gets. So his numbers won't look like he's aging at all, because Mark is going to be able to get him easy baskets. Schroeder is going to be able to get him easy baskets. And we got to see that over the course of these games. I think the other thing that really impressed me about him was how they played without AD. And I think that's something that, you know, when I watched the Clippers without Kawhi, watching them without AD, that's going to be the tale of these teams, because somebody's always going to lose a stud. Can they keep the train rolling without that guy? And the Lakers showed that it is important to them to try to win it again. They were disappointed with that one loss, but they came back with a fury over the next two games. And I think we saw a picture of what they're going to be all year.
I mean, Marc Gasol in the high post, Fizz, you and I talked about this just last week. I mean, he is unstoppable from there. Like, his vision, his court vision is great. He could play quarterback, honestly. Like, he could fit the ball in such tight windows. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, I'm glad you brought up the thing about LeBron.
7-foot quarterback. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. Right. The thing about LeBron, there's this notion that, well, LeBron needs the ball in his hands and playing with another playmaker is a deterrent. On the contrary, if you look at LeBron's career, even when he was younger, when he had another playmaker around him to make life easier for him, he excelled, you know, whether it was Dwayne Wade, Kyrie Irving, you name it. There's a lot of guys there that moved the ball to help him as well. He's obviously as unbelievable a passer as we've ever seen play the game. Him and Magic Johnson are in that conversation. But he certainly benefits from having those kind of guys.
Yeah, you look at, like, Dwayne used to get him, you know, length of court stuff when young LeBron wanted to outrun everybody. Now in the half court, Mark is going to be able to get him back cuts, you know, little easy spin outs and things like that that only a Marc Gasol or a Jokic type player can make. Those are the only kind of guys that can make those passes. And the way that Frank runs his offense, where he really gets the other guys to commit to moving without the ball, everything is with energy. Marc Gasol is going to make them so hard to beat as they move forward.
Yeah, and it has unlocked Kyle Kuzma, as we've talked about. Ramona, Kuz has played well with Marc Gasol out there on the floor. Like, he just signed a new extension, and I think that this is it. Look, if he starts performing like we've seen here in the last game or two, then all of a sudden that thing looks like a steal, doesn't it?
I mean, I thought the contract itself looked like a steal when it was, you know, 3 years, $40 million. I mean, I think he had visions of, you know, 60, 70 million, okay, when they were first talking. So for them to get him at that price, and it also takes away, I think, a lot of the drama around Kyle Kuzma, which was, it was going to be a storyline and a sense of, and a pressure for him and the Lakers all year long, because if they didn't do that extension, he was going to be eligible for restricted free agency. Obviously, there's always tension with him because he sees himself as a starter. Last night he got to start. Okay, he was the guy who went into the starting lineup, and I thought he looked great. He always plays great when he starts because he's got something to prove. But now you can relax a little bit. He got paid. It may not have been as big as what he wanted, but he still is getting $40 million the next 3 years. And I think for Kuz, it lets him settle into whatever role he's going to carve out for himself without every single game being a referendum on, are they going to give him a contract? Is he worth it? How much is he worth?
Right. All right, another team that turned things around this weekend, the Warriors. Steph Curry led a late comeback over the Bulls with 13 points in the fourth. That set up a huge three from Damian Lee in the final seconds that we saw earlier. So, Coach, it's just one win, but does Curry's hot quarter change your opinion on the Warriors?
Unfortunately, no. You know, I think this is, you know, with Wiseman being the rookie, and it's not to knock him, but without Clay, without Draymond on the court right now, it's this team from last year with a rookie, who was very impressive, by the way, this kid Wiseman. So, but I just think the West is too stacked. It doesn't change their position at all. And until they get healthy, I think they're going to be fighting an uphill battle.
Look, they really miss Draymond Green, George, and I think that he's coming back sooner rather than later. But just his playmaking ability, his passing, his leadership defensively. Wiseman looks good, but he looks a little lost defensively. We've seen some of that in the first few games here. But I think it was good for Steph to get going, because he has not shot the ball well until last night. Like, he hasn't had that Steph Curry efficiency, and it's because other teams are making it really hard on him. Okay, he's the only one they're worried about, and so he's drawing everybody's best shot. I mean, there's three guys on him all the time. But when Draymond's out there, they're going to be a little more balanced. I was wondering what the Warriors would look like this year in terms of, are they a team that goes from, you know, 15 wins last year to contending for a 7 or 8 spot in the West? From what we've seen in the first few games, I would say no.
I
don't think that they are looking like anything like a playoff team, but I want to wait on my judgment of them, because they have to figure out a whole new way to play. They've got to figure out how to put Kelly Oubre and Andrew Wiggins into spots where they can give them advantages offensively, because so far those two guys have looked a little lost in that Warriors offense, and they're spending a lot of money on both of them. So I think Steve Kerr's job is to figure out how to put them in positions where they have an advantage offensively and they can contribute better.
Yeah, and I do think, and I agree with you wholeheartedly in regards to where they are. I mean, I think, and I said this to start the season after Clay got hurt, I think that they may be in that play-in situation. I think that could be what they're looking at right now. Look, maybe they can slide up a little further, but I doubt it. Like, I have them maybe in that kind of 7 to 10 range, probably closer to 10, to be honest with you, with a stacked Western Conference. Yeah. But the Draymond stuff is interesting, because I do think, Ramona, that does help them, right? Not only someone who can move the ball, another person who can help put those guys in positions to succeed out there with Steph, but he brings a toughness aspect to it, right? A mental toughness and just a physical toughness as well. A guy who's been through kind of everything, certainly. So, all right, coming up next, Trae Young called out Grayson Allen over Twitter over this trip. And they got a little history between them as well. So we'll discuss, was this an intentional act by Allen or not? That's coming up next here on The Jump. Three Eastern Conference teams have already started the season 3-0. The Pacers got there after Domantas Sabonis' game winner against the Celtics. The Cavaliers won their third straight by routing the Joel Embiid-less Sixers. And the Magic beat the Wizards on both Saturday and Sunday to stay unbeaten. So, Ramona, which one of those three teams is the most surprising to you?
I'm going to say the Cavs. Like, I think that their young guards, Colin Sexton's look great. Darius Garland's look great. I think they were a team that a lot of people thought was going to be another, you know, bottom of the Eastern Conference standings again. They probably will still end up missing the playoffs, right? They got a young team, and they're not necessarily pushing to try to make the playoffs right now. But if they get off to this kind of a hot start and you start feeling yourself, you get some confidence, they can get on a roll.
Yeah, and I think the cool part for me, obviously, is seeing J.B. Bickerstaff be able to take his own team for once and not be replacing me or somebody at Houston, Coach McHale. But now this is his team that he can put his stamp on. And I know those two guards love him, Colin Sexton and Garland. So, and when you add Drummond to that mix, a big-time roller, big-time shot blocker, big-time rebounder with those guards, you might have something cooking. And I'm really happy to see them start off this way. The thing will be, can they consistently show up defensively, which is most young teams' Achilles heel? Can they do it every single night or consistently most nights to give themselves a chance to win?
I'm with both of you. Look, Indiana and Orlando have been playoff teams the last couple of years, so they shouldn't be a surprise that they would come off to a good start or get off to a good start. The Cavs have not been a playoff team by any stretch of the imagination over the last couple of years. And I really love this Darius Garland kid, man. I spent some time with him a little bit this offseason while I was doing some stuff here for ESPN as we were getting ready for the draft. He trained with a number of the draft prospects particularly. And I was just impressed wholeheartedly by his demeanor, his approach to the game. We know he can shoot, right? We know he can play basketball. I really feel like him and Sexton in that backcourt, man. That is a lethal backcourt.
I got to stop calling him his dad. I keep thinking of his father so much that I'd see him on the court and I see his dad.
Yeah, man,
but they are dynamic. They are fast and exciting to watch. And Sexton sets the tone for them defensively. You're talking about a bulldog, man. This guy gets after it. He picks the ball up. He's constantly in attack mode. So I think this is going to be a fun team to watch under JB.
All right, it wouldn't be the NBA without some minor drama, of course. And the Hawks and Grizzlies game Saturday gave it to us. Trae Young took to Twitter to question Grayson Allen's defense here, providing video evidence of a possible trip. Allen decided to respond saying, quote, "Damn, that must have really, really hurt. I'm sorry. I hope you're okay." Biz, after watching the tape, do you think Allen tripped Trae intentionally?
I mean, if they got a little history, he might have added a little extra. It didn't look too bad on the film, but, you know, at the end of the day, Trae, you won the game. You don't have to say nothing. You just keep winning games, and that's what it's all about, and you just walk on to the next arena. But I like the chirpiness. I like it getting a little physical, and obviously from college, those guys have been going at it.
Listen, these guys were in the same draft class, okay, 2018. So when we were covering Grayson Allen, when he was at Duke, and he had issues with this. This happened several times at Duke. Mm-hmm. Mike Krzyzewski had to sit him, remember? I mean, this is like his reputation. So that's the thing with a reputation is that, you know, there's this little something called confirmation bias, okay? So when you have a reputation and everybody thinks that you trip people all the time, and Trae Young, by the way, was at Oklahoma when Grayson was at Duke, okay? So when people think you have this reputation, that's all they're gonna see. Whether he meant to or not, he tripped him, he fell. And so I think that fits right into how you've always seen him.
Coach, let me ask you this. Grayson Allen, he's one of those dudes you don't like to play against, but you probably want him on your team, don't you?
Hey, look, at the end of the day, Grayson Allen might not be in the league right now if he wasn't like that. And so, you know, guys like that, they find roles on teams. They have an edge to them. They bring a competitiveness every day to practice and an intensity to the games. And his teammates probably love that stuff. But at the end of the day, that's who he is, and that's what's making him an NBA professional right now.
All right, up next, what will James Harden do for an encore tonight? We'll discuss. It's crunch time here on The Jump. Carmelo Anthony did not travel with the Blazers for tonight's game against the Lakers for health protocol reasons. Portland plays the Clippers on Wednesday. And what would Melo's absence mean to Portland, especially if it continues past this evening, Coach?
Well, I think he's a huge piece to what they do. He's that big forward that can create matchup problems offensively. Defensively, obviously, he can do a lot of switching and things like that for him. He moves around from the three to the four. So he gives them a lot of versatility and a lot of shooting as well. So that would be a big loss for them as they try to continue to get off to a good start if they can and get ahead of teams.
All right.
I mean, look, Carmelo is an important piece for them, but they, we're going to see this all year long. Just somebody's out for health and safety protocol reasons, and it's probably going to be, you know, 4 or 5 days every time.
All right, Mama, we're going to move on here because we got one more surprising upset from this weekend, and that was the Knicks soundly defeating the Bucks 130 to 110. New York's first win of the season. Julius Randle outscored Giannis. Fizz, Bucks blowout loss to New York, a big deal?
Not for the Bucks, but I thought it was a great win for the Knicks. It's a confidence builder for them, a team that's going to obviously have to figure out their way. But for Elfrid Payton and for Julius Randle, they played big games.
Mama?
Yeah, look, congratulations, Tom Thibodeau. You know, I'll say it. I don't want Fizz. I don't want to put you in that position because that's a tough one, right?
I got love for them Knicks,
man. As your former team, you
got
to congratulate the new coach, right?
Yeah, I got love for them. That Tibbs is my man. Yeah. So, hey. Win, Nick.
But I thought that was a good win for them in the sense that, well, you know, you beat the best team in the East from last year.
Absolutely.
We've always known they had that in them. It was just a question of, can they all be healthy? Can they do it consistently?
I think it's a big win for the Knicks. I don't think there's any question from a confidence standpoint. I will say this about the Bucks. You got a lot of new pieces. I'm curious to see how those pieces fit as the season progresses. I don't know if it's going to be a rocket ship like it's been in previous years.
They enjoyed that Paul George Christmas.
Yeah. Our league pass game of the night tonight is Rockets Nuggets. One team will get their first win of the season tonight. Nikola Jokic, by the way, is averaging a triple-double thus far, while Harden is coming off a 44-17 game in the Rockets' opening loss to Portland. So remember, no John Wall, no DeMarcus Cousins or Eric Gordon. They're all still in quarantine. So, Fizz, do you expect Harden to pick up where he left off this weekend?
Absolutely. I don't know if it'll be a 40 ball or not, but he's still going to put up big numbers. We're talking about James Harden. I mean, it's one of the great scorers this league has ever seen. And so, like I said before, obviously he's got a chip on his shoulder. He is wanting to come out and show people that he is still James Harden, MVP caliber player. And he would love to go in and get a win against Denver, who's one of the best teams, obviously, in the West.
Well, what's impressive to me about what Harden did against Portland, and let's see what he can do against Denver, is it's James versus everybody, okay? I mean, usually when you have one player that the defense is keying on, they devise some strategy. You know, you have 2-3 guys on him all the time. Every shot's contested. With James, though, it doesn't matter because if you contest a shot, he'll draw the foul and he'll get to the free throw line. I mean, he's one of those players that even when you key on him, even when you know what he's doing, he can still score. And I think he's always been able to do that. Let's see if they can get a win, though.
Listen, I just want to see more Harden on the floor, okay? When James Harden is on the floor, I know that this may be a hot take because I know some people are like, oh, I don't like his style of play. You know what?
Ball
I
goes in.
I want to see him play every day. I don't care if he's drawing fouls. I actually think that there's artistry to that stuff. Like, I think that, you know, for all the hate he gets on Twitter and social media about that stuff, look, I'm all in on watching him play because he helps his team win games. We can discuss the playoffs or whatever, but in the regular season, he helps his team win games. And you know what? There's a lot of superstars historically that we've questioned in the playoffs, and then eventually they win, and then everybody has to eat their words after the fact. That's Absolutely. All I'm going to say about James Harden. But anyway, this just in at the buzzer. The NBA has fined Sixers GM Daryl Morey $50,000 for violating the league's anti-tampering rule after posting and then deleting a tweet celebrating a Harden Rockets anniversary. Woj reports that Morey said the tweet was an inadvertent post from an automated app. So, Ramona, does Morey have an argument here?
Yeah, I think so. And I'm really surprised by this one because, like, all it was like saying congratulations, you know, on breaking some record that he had in Houston, right? It wasn't like, I'm going to go trade for him. But what this speaks to is how sensitive the league is to tampering, but specifically with Daryl Morey and the Rockets, okay? Because that's where he came from. Obviously, there have been trade conversations with the Sixers and with the Rockets about James Harden, especially early on before James hired new representation. And, you know, he has new representation now for the past 3-4 weeks. I think before that, there was some sense like, how were those conversations happening? And that's why this situation has drawn the attention of the league, because quite frankly, if I'm the Rockets, I'm upset about it. I don't like how any of that has gone down, and it feels a little too close for comfort.
Yeah, at the end of the day, though, those guys got a great relationship, and if James is going to Philly somehow, it'll be because the Rockets is involved, not because of anything else. So,
yeah.
They'll work it out.
I don't know how nefarious that tweet is either. All right. Thanks to Ramona and Coach Fizz for joining me. Rachel will be back here in the saddle tomorrow at 3 Eastern on ESPN. Make sure you subscribe.